Father God, God, we are so blessed to build our life in your foundation, in your truth, in your promises. Father, I thank you that we can stand in your promises. We can stand in your truth. And those are firm foundations to build our lives on. Father, that we don't have to live a life of wondering or of confusion, Father, but we can live a life of knowing that you have a purpose for us and a plan for us, Father, that you have good things for us, Father, and that you want us to live according to your will, Father. And that will is that we are in relationship with you, that we know you, Father, because you want to know us. So God, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for being an example of a father to us, God, so that we can learn and we can follow your lead as we lead others. God, we pray that you'll be with us this morning. Touch us this morning during Sunday church. Father, I pray once again specifically for our dads, for our fathers in the congregation, both those that are fathers now or those that maybe were fathers or maybe those that may someday be a father. Father, we pray that you would just encourage them specifically today. But God, we know that leadership just isn't about men. We know it's about women. So Father, we also pray that you would just bless our moms and the women of our congregation as well. God, we pray that everyone will be lifted up and built up this morning. Touch hearts today, God, and encourage people. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Thanks, music team. It's funny, we're doing some painting here in the church, as I had mentioned a couple Sundays ago, and even though it was earlier in the week we did the painting, you can still smell the paint fumes, so if I fall over and just a little funny in the head, light in the head from all the paint fumes, don't worry. It's just the paint fumes. I'm good. I'm healthy. I'm good. We are talking about changing our world. That's the series we're in right now. That's the group of talks we're talking about, is changing our world. And because today is Father's Day, and because of who Nehemiah was, and we're talking about him, we're going to talk about being a leader. And it's not just being a leader for dads, like we prayed even, but it's be a leader as moms, as people, as kids, as youth. We all can be a leader. We're all called to be a leader. And I shared something on Facebook on Monday morning, just about how we all have impact zones, and it's our choice what that impact zone looks like. And that's kind of like last week when I talked about dropping love bombs all around where we go, and we had a few comments about that really liked that. So I pray that this past week you drop some love bombs wherever you went. So I want to give you a little bit of, I guess, background in this series we're in. So for over 140 years, the walls of Jerusalem were in ruins. And even though many believe the walls could never be rebuilt, God raised up one man, Nehemiah, who believed that they could be built. God transformed this ordinary cupbearer into this extraordinary leader who changed the world. And we're gonna dive in today and find out how we can turn our burden into an actual ministry. So last week, what did we talk about, right? The year was 444 BC. The walls of Jerusalem were down for that 140 years, as I just mentioned, and these people felt hopeless. They were in despair. They were depressed because they didn't have protection. They felt like their best days were behind them, and they felt they were embarrassing God. Now, I want to tell you this morning, if you feel like your best days are behind you, stop, because they're not. Your best days are always in front of you when you're walking with Jesus. Amen? Thank you, guys. Our best days are always in front of us when we're walking with Jesus. So there's this ordinary guy, Nehemiah, who lived about 1,000 miles or so away from Jerusalem, and his brother came to visit, and he asked him, "Hey, bro." That's brother. That's short. That's my street slang. "Hey, bro." That's Hebrew, yeah. "Hey, bro, what's going on with the people back home?" And the brother said, "The walls are down. The gates have been burned. It's devastation. There's no protection around our hometown." And if you remember last week, we looked at the kind of person that God would use, and we talked about three specific things. God will use those who sit down and cry, those who are moved passionately inside about a need, about a gap. And then we also talked about those who would kneel down and pray, those who will spend time seeking God on how he wants that need filled. And then we talked about those who will stand up and act, because when we pray, it's not a, oh, let's pray, thank you, God, now do your thing. It's, okay, God, what do you have for me to do? Prayer is not, and waiting isn't just a passive thing, it's an active thing. It's an aggressive thing sometimes. We need to get up and act. And this is exactly what Nehemiah did when he heard the news. He couldn't contain his emotion. And we talked last week about embracing your burden, about embracing the thing that breaks your heart on behalf of God. And I pray that through this past week, you spend some time maybe reflecting and thinking about the things that shaped you, or shake you, not shape you, shake you, shake your heart. And maybe that's the burden that Christ has given you for this world, for your neighbors, for this church. And God used this one guy who was not a builder. He wasn't a priest, was he? No. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a king. He was a taste tester, a simple cupbearer. And God used one ordinary person to do the impossible, extraordinary thing and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in only 52 days, less time than you were in quarantine. So like I asked last week, what did you do with your quarantine time? Rhetorical question. You don't have to answer me on TV. But what I love about this story, about the many things that Nehemiah did or didn't do, is what he did wasn't based on his position. Instead, God used him because of his passion. We don't need to be used because of our position. God will use us because we have passion, because he stirs our hearts, and we get passionate about something. Amen? So this week we're going to discuss about the leader in you. And to make a difference in this world, you don't have to be the best. You just have to care the most. You just have to care the most. You just have to care about something, get passionate about something, and care. Are you the type of person who says, somebody's got to do something about this, and it might as well be me? Or are you the person that says, somebody's got to do something, it's over there is the problem, I'm out of here? What type of person are you? And I pray that at the end of this series, you're the type of person that says, something needs to be done, and it's got to be me. And I pray that you get passionate about stuff, and you want to be a world changer. You want to be a community changer. You want to be a church changer. When you get to the point where and you get activated and you say to yourself, God specializes in using ordinary people. And today, with the help of God, what I want to do is empower you all to see that you can be a world changer, that you can be that ordinary person that he has made extraordinary. So would you walk with me today? Would you journey with me today on being a world-changing leader? So here's the deal. You can make a difference by yourself, but if you want to change the world around you, if you really want to be a world changer, you need others. You can't do it on your own. This is a lesson that I still struggle with. I struggle with bringing people alongside of me, because sometimes I'm such a control freak. I'm like, oh, I'll just do it. And Stacy, for instance, this week we were cutting and building walls in the basement. And I said, can you cut this on the miter saw? And I marked it for her. And then I sent her outside with this couple short pieces of wood. And then I quickly had to get done what I was doing downstairs so I could make sure she did it right. And then I was like, no. And I was getting my hands in there. And this is not how we get things done efficiently. I needed somebody with me. And I needed to trust that person. So yes, I struggle with this. But we need to bring people alongside of us. We need others to change the world. And to change the world, you have to see yourself as a leader that is equipped and empowered by God. You don't have to be the best, you just have to care the most. So let's look at three thoughts of world-changing leaders, okay? So first, change the world, a world-changing leader defines the mission clearly. So here's how Nehemiah does it before the king. In Nehemiah 2, 4 to 5, it says, "The king said to me, 'What is it you want?' And then I prayed to the God of heaven." Let me just stop right there and say, if prayer is not necessary for you to fulfill your mission, then you're not thinking big enough. Let me repeat that. Maybe you didn't grab that. But if prayer is not necessary for you to fulfill your mission, you're not thinking big enough. Because we need the power of God if we really want to be a world-changing leader, if we want to be a world-changing believer, we need the power of prayer to propel us up to there. And if prayer isn't necessary for you to fulfill that mission, then stop thinking so small and start thinking big. And Nehemiah, he prays to the God of heaven, and then he goes on in verse 5 and he says, "I answer the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah where my fathers are buried." And watch in one statement as he clearly defines his mission. I don't even know if I'm, do I have it up there? I forgot to click. Sorry, guys. And in one statement, he clearly defines his mission. And he says, "So that I can rebuild the wall." Right there. "So that I can rebuild the wall." He gave him the mission. One simple sentence. That's the mission. And there were probably a million great things he could have done. He could have said, "I'm going to go help improve the economy." Best economy in years. Who says that? Greatest economy in history. Never mind, I shouldn't make jokes like that online. I think they're funny. Maybe he said, "I'm going to get rid of corrupt politicians." He could have said that. That would have been something good to say. But what he does is he makes one crisp statement. "I'm going to rebuild the wall." And I pray this week you start to think and talk more about your burden. And I want to help you narrow it down to a very crisp, clear statement and help you ask the question, what is God calling you to do? Take it from something broad down to something very, very specific. And here's the key. If you can't define it, you can't do it. Don't just say, "I want to help the poor." What does that mean? Who's the poor, right? How are you going to help them? You need to define the vision clearly. And this is something very practical that I'm telling you. And this is something in my life that I've really been working on through the past number of years, is to clearly propose and tell and speak the crisp vision. And the king says to him, "What do you want to do?" "I want to go back to where my fathers are buried so that I can rebuild the wall." Crisp vision. Secondly, a leader makes plans carefully. If you're a father or a mom in a home and you're leading your home, you need to plan, don't you? You need to make plans carefully. So the second thing a change your world leader does is he or she makes plans carefully. And we've already got the what. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to rebuild the walls, right? That's the what. Now we've got to talk about the how. How are we gonna bring this about? How are we gonna build these walls? Because I've heard it said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And even at Husky, where we work, we build the plan and then we do the plan. You need to do the plan. If you don't do the plan, what's going to happen? You're going to fail. You need to build a specific plan. And I want you to watch as Nehemiah has detailed out a very specific plan to rebuild the walls. And he says this in Nehemiah 2, 2, 6 to 8. I got to read it on here because I didn't put my contacts in this morning. He said, "It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time." In other words, here's how long it's going to take. And he's already thought this through. And then he says, "I also said to him," where is it? "Set a time. I also said to him," there we go. And we're going to watch Nehemiah make two specific asks of the king. Okay? He asks, if it pleases the king, may I have letters from the governors of Trans-Euphrates so they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. In other words, will you tell them to give me some protection? Will you tell them to give me some muscle and tell them that I'm on official business? It's a pretty good ask, right? It's a dangerous area he's going to. Have you spent a lot of time in the desert and seen those guys out there? They're rough and tumble guys. It's like going into parts of, I don't know, the underworld. We'll just say there. The parts of Vegas you don't want to go. Well, the parts of LA you don't want to go. You need a rite of passage. You need somebody to come with you. I'm on official business. You need to tell them that, king. And then if we keep reading, it says, and may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's force, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates and for the city wall and for the residents I will occupy. Number two, I need some wood. How do I build a wall without wood? He gave him the plan. Now, one of the commentaries that I read, it said just that fact that he found out Asaph's name was that was evidence that Nehemiah had done some homework behind the scenes. He had done some preparation because at the time, how would he know who the ruler of that area was? He couldn't Google it. What's the keeper of the king's forest name? Doesn't work that way. Couldn't ask Siri. He had to do some digging. He had to do some investigation to find out so he could strategically ask. And sometimes I think those of you who are Christians, we tend to think, well, the planning process, it's not spiritual. But I beg to differ. That's probably one of the dumbest things I might have actually heard somebody say before. Well, planning's not spiritual. Let's just let happen what happens. No, sometimes that happens. Yes, sometimes we need to allow the Spirit to lead, but sometimes we need for direction so that we can make the plan with Him. We can't just shoot from the hip. We can't just show up and expect it to happen. We need to work our butt off sometimes in the planning and the preparation. That's what we do. That's what I do here on Sundays. I don't just stroll up, okay, Mary and team, you guys sing and we'll see what comes out of my mouth. That's not how it works. You know what? You'd hear so many bad jokes if that's how this worked. But sometimes I have to plan, you know, weeks to a month in advance of what I'm saying so I could have a plan, so I can have things pieced together. You notice before this series we talked about being spiritual warriors. Now we're talking about taking that being a spiritual warrior and moving it into being a world changer. It all fits together. We always have to have a plan. I think I've hit that one long enough. So that's what Nehemiah does. And the next thing he does is he travels 1,000 miles without an airplane, without a boat, no train. He takes a 1,000-mile journey, maybe on his camel, and he arrives, and the first thing he does is what? He rests. And then he goes out at night so that no one will know what's happening, so that the political enemies don't discover what he's doing. And he goes in and he investigates by night. And he wants to see firsthand, how are the walls? How are the gates? What do I need to do here? And while everybody else is asleep, he's working. Which is a side note to changing your world. Leaders oftentimes will work while others are resting or sleeping. Because the burden is so great that they need to put in that extra effort. And once he accumulates and assimilates all the information that he needs firsthand, then he does what change your world leaders do every single time. He inspires people. He inspires people passionately. A change your world leader knows that you can make a difference by yourself, but if you want to change the world, you need other people to buy into the vision that God has given you. And that's what Nehemiah does in Nehemiah 2, 17 and 18. I don't know how loud that is on the microphone, so I'm sorry if it was loud. He says this. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, what? Let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. So now let's break that down. He gathers this group of people and he says to them, you see this trouble? You see what's going on? You see the walls? And he points out how embarrassing this is, and this is not right, and this is humility, and he gives them this passionate speech. It's not just some weak speech, it's a passionate one from the heart because he is moved. And he tells them that this is not acceptable. Look at the trouble we're in. Jerusalem is in ruins. The gates have been burned. The walls are destroyed. We're susceptible to attack. Jerusalem is a disgrace. But wait, there's more, because the gracious hand of God has brought me here, and he has allowed me to have wisdom on how to speak to my king, and we have this opportunity. And he got them passionate. And what did they say? Let's rebuild it. Let's get to work. They had a huddle, and they're like, okay, on three, break. And they went to work. Let's start rebuilding. And so they did, and they began a good work. See, if you define mission clearly, if you make plans carefully, and if you care so much that you'll get this need deep in your heart and it stirs you, and you can gather people and you can inspire them, then you can get work done. Maybe you say, I'm not naturally an inspirational leader. I'm telling you right now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer, an ordinary guy, but he cared the most. He got passionate about this thing that needed to be done. And he said, I'm going to be the guy. He just traveled 1,000 miles to be there. This guy cares, doesn't he? He cares. And I don't know everything he said, but I kind of have an idea that he said. Said his statements with so much passion that you could see he cared. Do you care? See, John Wesley made this statement once, and it says, light yourself on fire with passion and people will come from miles to watch you burn. Get passionate, people. You got to get excited about something and people will join you into the mission that God has called you to accomplish. Are we passionate people? Are we hungry for God? Are we passionate about the things that he put on our heart? Or are we just a ho-hum type of generation and world that just lets it pass us by and let's see if somebody does the work for me? Get passionate. We need to get passionate. We need people to join us on mission that God has called us to do. And so he just says, do you think this wall is acceptable to God? Our people are vulnerable. We're not honoring our fathers and our mothers who have gone before us. We need to get passionate. We need to rebuild this wall. Rosetown was once a town that was in revival. Rosetown was once a town that was passionate about Jesus. And yet people have now, for whatever reason, put on their blinders and don't want to acknowledge that Jesus Christ exists. They don't want to put in the work and the effort. That's our job as the church, is to tell them that Jesus is here for them, that we love them no matter what, and we can get passionate about the mission that he has given us. We're not building a city that will protect our future children and grandchildren. The temple is not what it should be. It doesn't honor God. It's a disgrace. Everybody says it can't be done, but I'm telling you, the hand of God is with us. Those are the things Nehemiah said. God touched the heart of a king who had no reason to empower Nehemiah. And God was with them. And in that passion, all of a sudden, this group of people that for 140 years thought it was impossible to build that wall, they realized that with God it was possible. What do you, with God, believe is possible? Now, if you believe that something is possible with the power of God, then do it. Because God raised up a cupbearer to a world-changing leader. And I'm here to tell you that God can do the same thing for you. This town had a cry for Jesus week in and week out. This church at one time was a church of over 400 people. I believe, and I've said this time and time again, that God can do it again. So are we passionate about it, or are we just going to sit back on our butts and do nothing? Are we going to get passionate, or are we going to impact, and are we going to impact Rosetown, or are we just going to sit back and say, somebody else will do it? It's Pastor Dave's job. Are we going to get behind this clearly defined mission of love God, love people, impact Rosetown? Not to build this church to the biggest church it can be, not to say we got a big stamp here for the POC, but it's for leading people to Jesus. That's what it's about. Are you passionate about leading people to Jesus? Are you passionate about ministry? Are you passionate about impacting Rosetown? Something I really like, and maybe you've heard of this guy, Pastor Craig Rochelle, but he makes a statement. We are going to do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Jesus. What are we willing to do to reach people who don't know Jesus? We began some work this past fall. We worked through it through the winter, and this stupid COVID thing got in our way and slowed us down, but it also allowed us to rest and to plan. And I pray that you've been planning and you've not just been sitting back on your butt thinking about what movie you're going to watch next or wonder how the next Avengers is going to happen or whatever. At some point, at the end of your life, when you're on your deathbed, I pray that you have no regrets. And that when God called you to be a spiritual warrior, you stood up and you said, not on my watch. It's time to move forward. Will you move forward with me? See, I want you guys to light yourself on fire. I want people to see that passion in you. I want people to come from all over our community and area to watch us burn with passion. Not a literal burn, obviously. I get enough sunburns in the summer. But burn with passion for Jesus. That's what we need to do. See, we need to gather together and we need to lead together. You may not feel like you're a leader, but neither did Nehemiah, did he? He was just a guy who cared more than anybody else. You don't have to be the best. You just have to care the most. And I ask you, will you care the most with me? Will you care the most with me for our community and our area? And I encourage you this week as we prepare for the next message for Sunday church next week, I pray that you would spend time in prayer. I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to stir your heart, to get passionate. I ask that you would spend time in asking the Holy Spirit to give you a mission and a vision that we can journey together in. I ask that you spend time in your prayer closet and pray and ask God for that vision, to ask God for that passion. And will you burn with us? Let's pray. God, I thank you for those today who have something on their heart already bigger than themselves, Father. And I pray for those that this week are going to be seeking you, Father, that are going to be spending time with you to know what you've called them to do, that you've called them to something greater than themselves. And I pray that we would be overcome with you, God, and that we'd get this image of what you've given us to do, that we would get an image of the mission and vision you've called us to. God, for those who are Christians, I pray that they would really understand that because Christ is in us, all things are possible, and that they would step forward and live life like all things are possible. God, I pray that you would give us a heart for something outside of ourselves. And you would raise up leaders, Father, in homes that are all listening to this message today. Father, I pray that you would raise up leaders that would be spiritual leaders, that would speak a clear vision that you have given us. Leaders who would inspire leaders, God. God, leaders who would be an encouragement. Leaders who would equip others. Father, we pray right now, wherever people are, whoever is under the sound of my voice, that leaders would be rising up right now in Jesus' name. Father, that hearts would be changed. Father, that your will would be done and that we would have a community of wholeness, Father. God, that as it is in heaven, it is on earth in Rosetown, Father. That is what we expect and that is what we are asking for, Father. And Father, we are willing to do our part here in Rosetown, Father. So God, right now, I pray that you would call out leaders and you would give vision. Father, it wouldn't be our will, it wouldn't be our desire, Father, but for building our own heart and our own kingdom, God, it would be building your kingdom here. So God, right now we pray, Father, for these leaders to rise up. Father, that households would be made whole, that dads would be the leaders that you've called them to be in Jesus' name. Father, that where there is not a father in place, Father, in that home, God. We pray that the mothers would rise up and be the leaders that you've called them to be, God, that they would seek you in godly ways that they never thought possible. And Father, that where there's both a mother and a father, Father, that they would rise up together and be strengthened together in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you that on this day you're speaking to people very clearly. And that one day they look back and realize that today was the day that things changed for them. That today was the day that they got passionate and that they got excited to have people come and watch them burn in their passion. Raise up, change your world, world-changing leaders, God, right here in Rosetown Community Church, right here, wherever people may be watching this message or listening to this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I don't want to just stop there, but if you don't know Jesus and you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, I want to invite you right now. We're going to do that. We're going to give you a chance. And if you do this, all you have to do is very simple. All you have to do is repeat after me. It's pretty simple. Repeat some words, mean them with your heart, and ask Jesus into your heart. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, if you maybe just have heard about Jesus or read about Jesus or just today is your first time, I invite you to get to know Jesus and accept Jesus into your heart and let him be Lord of your life. And we're going to bow our heads and I'm going to pray a prayer and you're going to repeat after me if that's you today. And I'm going to ask our music team to just repeat after me. And if you're at home and you have people around you and maybe you already know Jesus, I'm going to invite you to say it as well because maybe somebody in your room doesn't feel comfortable. So bow your heads and repeat after me. Dear God, I know that my sin has separated me from you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive my sins and come into my life. Make me whole and make me new. Jesus, direct me, lead me, and connect me closer to you each day. Thank you, God, for welcoming me into your army and giving me eternal life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I ask, call me at the church, 306-882-2453, or email me, lead@rosetownchurch.ca, or go below me in Facebook or YouTube or on the church chat page that we're doing on our live stream and just say, hey, Pastor Dave, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Or if you call me, just call me and let me know. I'll answer your phone call right away. Email me, I'll reply to you. And what I want to do is I want to connect you with a good Bible-based church. If you live outside of Rosetown and if you live in Rosetown, we want to connect you with our church and we want you to come and get passionate about Jesus with us. And if you don't have a Bible, I have a Bible for you, and we'd love to give you that gift of a Bible. We've got some really nice, cool Bibles that I'd love to share with you. And maybe you say, hey, Pastor Dave, I didn't say that prayer today, but I want to read about who this Jesus is, and I want to hear more. Then contact me, and I'll still give you a Bible. I want to give you a Bible so you can find out about Jesus. So I pray that today you were encouraged. I pray that today you were blessed. I pray that today you now have a clear vision of what we are about as a church. And I pray that today you get passionate about what he has placed on your heart. Amen? And I pray that today you're ready to join me even more. And we're ready to get to work together. Amen? Guys, happy Father's Day. Ladies, do a barbecue for them. Do something special. If you want to do a barbecue for me, I'd love to have it. I love steak. Medium. Something medium, rare, sometimes. As long as it's... Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm just kidding. Guys, have an awesome day, and we will see you next week and possibly throughout the week this week. God bless, and we'll see you soon.